Please forgive me today. I am the opposite of Mark. I don't believe that Christmas should be celebrated too early. No, I don't know when it happened, but like, I think I'm prematurely a grumpy old guy. Like, when I was a kid, yeah, Christmas forever. But like, I got to a certain age and I couldn't do it for more than a couple weeks. So forgive me if today we're still talking a little bit about the Thanksgiving kind of stuff. There's a lot in our lives that I'm sure a lot of us are grateful for. Hopefully we spent some time this past Thursday dwelling on those things, sharing those things. If you didn't have a particularly good Thanksgiving, I'm just gonna tell you something that will turn it all around for you. The Cowboys lost, and it looks like their season is done. So Thanksgiving was perfect. That's all that really needed to happen to make Thanksgiving good. No, I'm extremely thankful not only for that, but for the friends and family that I've gotten to spend time with over these last few days, and for so many different things. One of which is that we just have to go visit the snow. I don't live in a place anymore where I'm dwelling in snow for like 9 months of the year. If you have never lived in a place like different from here, you may not understand how important that is. But having just moved from Michigan after one of their worst winters of all time, I'm like, me and my friends made a pact, no more complaining about weather ever. It can never be as bad as this. So I'm thankful for the weather here. It's a beautiful day today. So much to be thankful for. Last weekend, one of my friends and his wife came down from NorCal. They were here for Thanksgiving, and we threw a surprise birthday party for one of them, and it was a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of people I don't get to see very often, and it was just a good time. This friend, we got to talking about coffee, because you probably know this about me by now. That's like the thing to talk about with me. We were talking about it, and we were making plans to go to my favorite coffee shop and all this different stuff. And he was like, "Wow, man, you're so into this. It's really cool. Like, I'm wondering, like, what the next thing is that you're gonna be like really into." And I was like, "Wow, that's a weird question." And so I started thinking about it. I was like, "What could be the next thing that I could get like really into?" I could get really into movies. I mean, I really am already into movies. Like, I watch way too many movies, and I have like a huge like projector screen that like doesn't really fit in my house, but it's okay because it's worth it because movies. Or I could get into clothes. Like, I love clothes. I could start like being more into fashion and like staying up to date on all the trends. Yeah, I could get into that. That could be my new thing. Or I could get into my car. There's like so many different things I want to fix up on it. I mean, she's nice now, but if I got really into it, oh yeah. Oh no, but I'm kind of getting into records now too. I mean, I gotta go full hipster if I'm gonna do it, right? And so I could get into that. Yeah, yeah, I'm collecting those, I could do that. Or I mean, I'm starting to bike now that I live in Redlands. I mean, you kind of have to. So I could get really into that. I could fix up a bunch of bikes, and yeah, this could be great. I can get to this. And as I was thinking about this, I noticed that all these things have one thing in common for me. They all involve me consuming as much as I possibly can. You see, with coffee, I love to like make it for my friends. It's like, I tell people it's my love language. Like, I love it. I love spending time making coffee with people. But that's not good enough. I have to have more coffee makers than the five that I have at home. And I like, when I go to a new city, I have to go to every coffee shop they have, not just three. So yet even that's like all about consumption. Or if it was my car, I couldn't just enjoy driving. I would have to make sure I fixed it up, and it was always buying something new for it, like new tires, new rims. I gotta do this thing to the engine. I gotta get a nicer exhaust. I gotta do all these different things. Or if it's records, I gotta collect every single one and make sure I get the first pressing and all this different stuff. No matter what it is, with each of these things that I want to enjoy or I want to be into, it's about consuming as much as possible. Have it all. Consume all the things. And I doubt I'm the only one. I don't think I'm alone in subjecting myself to the whims of the consumer culture. Consumption, for many of us, is our master. Consumption is our cultural master. Consumption is our national master. And a great example of our service to consumption is with Thanksgiving. We take this day to spend time with our friends and family, to be thankful for what we have, and then we make sure that we're done early enough to go get in line for Black Friday shopping, because all that stuff that we were thankful for isn't enough. And this isn't necessarily a surprise, because we're so good at being servants of consumption that even our thankfulness is kind of off. I used to work at the Potomac Avenue, the Book and Health Food Center, back in Maryland. It's the ABC there, and it's a little bit different than our dearly departed Loma Linda ABC or the ABC of the conference office. This one's like it's huge megastore, and there's all kinds of everything Christian that ever happened. And I worked in the music department, and I'm just going to admit that this is the most Adventist like story ever. I'm like bragging about how our ABC was better than the ABC here. Like, I'm just put that out there. I'm lame. Let's get over it. But I worked in the music department, and we had a ton of different styles of music, not just chapel records. We had a lot of different other stuff. And each of us that worked there had to be in charge of like knowing everything about a particular genre. And so my genres were rap, rock, and gospel. So those are the ones I had to know everything about the Christian music in those genres, because this was the day when you didn't have an app that you could hum to and it would tell you what song it was. Like, people would come in and they would ask for recommendations, or they would sing you an off-tune version without the words of the song that they were talking about, and you had to know what it was. And so for a few years there, I knew like everything about Christian music that came out in like 2006 to 2008. And there was this one Kirk Franklin album that came out that was one of the ones that got played on repeat a lot. And it was really good, really good music. But there's this one song that always kind of like felt a little off to me. It was called "It Could Have Been Me." It was a really fun song to listen to, but the lyrics just felt a little weird. It was a song of thankfulness to God, but the way that they were thanking God was that they weren't in the position that other people were in. It was like some of the lyrics were like, "It could have been me, with no clothes, no shoes, or no food to eat." Or, "It could have been me outside without a home, you know, cold and alone." And I was like, wait. So the message of this song is like, we're thankful because we're not worse off than we are. That's the reason to be thankful, is that it could have been me in these difficult situations. That type of thankfulness is just another type of consumerism. It's basically saying that I'm thankful for my ability to consume more than other people. And that type of thankfulness is even more problematic for the people that are not in that position. Do you not have a reason to be thankful? Has God not blessed you if you are one of the people that doesn't have food or doesn't have clothes or is outside? And Thanksgiving isn't alone. Our holidays tend to get to this place where they're about how much we can buy, how much we can consume. On New Year's Eve, for a lot of people, it's about how much alcohol they can consume. For Valentine's, it's the nicest flowers or jewelry or candy that you can buy. For Mother's and Father's Day, you just got to buy your parents something. That's all you have to do, right? For Halloween, how much candy you can consume. For Christmas, how much everything can you consume. Even holidays that don't really make sense with this. Like, we get gifts at Christmas, so it makes sense that could get out of hand and we would like try to consume too much. But President's Day, why do we need to celebrate President's Day by going and getting a new truck? Like, or even Veterans Day now. You prove how much you honor the veterans that have served this country by buying as many green lights or camo colored products as possible. The way that we engage with these holidays, with these important times, tends to be through consumption. And I'm not trying to be like too big of a bummer. I'm guilty of this just as much myself, even though I may try to forget it. Like when all the Black Friday ads started, I kind of have this text message thread with my two old roommates, and we're always texting each other. And one of them was like, "Are you guys doing anything cool or crazy? Like, what sale are you gonna look at for Black Friday?" And I texted back, I was like, "I don't believe in that." And then, like, my other roommate texted back, "We all did Black Friday together last year. Like, what are you talking about?" I was like, oh, yeah. So how do we celebrate? How do we engage with these times? How do we even just live without becoming enslaved to consumerism? Well, in that scripture that was read by Sam a little bit earlier, Matthew 6:24, Jesus says this: "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." There are certain passages in the Bible that we have spent hundreds of years trying to think of excuses as to why they don't apply to us. And I think this is one of them. We sometimes try to weasel out of what Jesus is telling us here. You know, he's only talking about loving money, not having money. Just because I have money doesn't mean I love it. I'm not rich. Look at these other people. They're richer than me. That's who he's talking to. I'm never satisfied with what I have, and I need to keep consuming more, but I mean, that's just life. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. But I'm not so sure. In fact, our constant consumerism is enabled by our relative wealth. So when we are serving consumption, we are serving wealth. And if we are serving those two, what does service to this different master that Jesus describes, what does that type of service look like? In John 13:4, we see the account of the Last Supper, and we get to see Jesus embodying, enacting what his type of being a master, what servitude to him looks like. John 13:4, Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." So Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my head and my hands." Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." I love that John like has like a footnote in the middle. In verse 12, after Jesus had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Now, this passage isn't just about how Adventists got it right by keeping foot washing when they do communion. This passage is about a type of master that exists that serves differently than other types, and serving him looks different. Serving wealth, serving consumption looks like more for me and more for mine. Serving Jesus looks like more for others. But this is not a concept we're unfamiliar with. We think it's good to serve others, but we're so wrapped up in our service of wealth and consumption that even our service to others can look like more consumerism. You see, it's great that we give toys to underprivileged kids during Christmas time, but what are we doing to serve that kid's family so they're not underprivileged in the first place? It's awesome that so many people go feed and clothe homeless veterans around Veterans Day, but what are we doing to serve them so radically that they wouldn't be homeless in the first place? It's beautiful that so many people take time to feed the hungry on Thanksgiving, but what are we doing to serve them their daily bread? The service that Jesus embodies is a lifestyle. It is acknowledging that the kingdom of God context that he made present is wholly different from the context of consumption in which we presently dwell. And Paul describes this Christ-like service in practical terms for the church in Philippi in Philippians 2. It's a good thing I don't get to preach here very often, because it would just be like Philippians 2 like every week. This is like my favorite part. "If then there is," this is Paul writing to the Philippians, "if then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy. Make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. That's my favorite part. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So then serving Jesus, making Jesus our master, looks like humility, unity, regarding others as better than ourselves, looking to the interests of others, being a slave to the one who was a slave to all of humanity, being obedient to him above all else. Maybe the ways that we celebrate these important days change when our master is Jesus. Maybe on New Year's Eve, we go to prime party spots and give people free rides home who may try to drive themselves when they shouldn't. Maybe on Valentine's Day, we spend quality time with loved ones instead of just buying them a token. Maybe on Mother's and Father's Days, we don't just give a phone call or reserve a brunch, but we actually listen to the wisdom and advice of our elders. Maybe on Christmas, we don't just buy some gifts, but we welcome strangers into our midst so that they don't have to be out in the cold like Mary and Joseph were. But even more than these important days, serving a master, this language that Jesus uses, serving a master is a lifestyle. It's a commitment, an obligation that doesn't just exist on certain days. When I graduated from La Sierra, I had just gotten a new car, and I was gonna be going to live in Victorville, and so I decided to drive across country to get all of my stuff that was still back in Maryland and then drive back. And I did this alone, which is like the worst idea. Don't ever do that. And I did it quickly. So I did like a leg. Each leg was like 23 hours, like by myself driving straight. And so the midway point, the point I decided to stop was right outside Dallas, where some of my friends live. And so I was there, and just got together, hung out, it was cool, and then I decided to stop on my way back at the same place. And on my way back, I actually spent some time there. And my one friend took me around Dallas and showed me a bunch of different places, and to my dismay, I liked it. I was like totally upset. I had wanted to hate it so much. Because, you know, the Cowboys, there's number one. But then I'm not a Texas guy, right? So she took me around, and I liked it. And I was really upset that I liked it. And my favorite place that we went to was this place called Thanksgiving Square. And most people haven't even heard of it. Like, I've talked to people from Texas who have, like, been to Dallas a bunch of times, who even live there, who don't know about it. But it's this really cool place right downtown, and it is an intercultural, interfaith monument to Thanksgiving, not the holiday, but the act of gratitude, of giving thanks. It's beautiful. And I took some pictures there, and it's like still like the background of like my iPad, like 5 years later. It's a great, beautiful monument to the idea of Thanksgiving. Maybe that's what these holidays can become. Not the only time when we give thanks, or the only time where we show love, or the only time where we respect our parents, but monuments to these aspects of our lives that we live throughout the year. So let's not wait until New Year's to make positive changes in our lives. Let's not wait until Valentine's to tell people we love them and show them our love in tangible ways. Let's not wait until Mother's or Father's Day to show gratefulness to our parents or to reconcile with them. Let's not wait until Columbus Day to wrestle with portions of our history we'd like to forget. Let's not wait until someone's birthday to make them feel important. Let's not wait until Veterans Day to help those who have sacrificed for us. Let's not wait until Christmas to spread peace and joy on earth. And may our giving thanks not end this past week, but may we live gratefully, serving others from the overflow of blessings, tangible and intangible, that are abundantly present in each of our lives. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be grateful. We think of all the things in our lives that we have been blessed with, physical things, people, and just the intangible blessings that you give us every day. We ask that as we go throughout this week and as we enter into the Christmas season, that that gratitude would overflow to all those around us. We thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.